You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody Bellinger's job is to look for information, get informed, know the facts for sure before he stands in front of cameras to talk about other players. You should get informed. You should be informed before you talk about other players. If you don't know the facts, then you got to chill the
I'm so excited to have him back, Seth.
Remember, that was one of the things that everything kind of turned in terms of the way the fan base perceived Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
After that, because Correa, there was kind of a disconnect in some ways. He almost felt like there was almost like a touch of the A-Rod to him almost, where people just didn't feel like they could relate to Carlos Correa. And then all of a sudden, after the being better than everybody else scandal happened, and Correa was one of the guys who, you know, did the initial press conference and said, I'm sorry, yeah, we were wrong. And then all of a sudden it just turned, and he flipped the switch, and he said, you know what? No. Yeah. Listen, you bunch of hypocritical BS. That part was awesome. And he was kind of a different guy. Whether he changed or not, I think the fan base just related to him differently after that.
Well, think about the year before. That was in that cut is in February of 2020. So that was early in spring training, right after the firing of AJ Hinch and Jeff Luno. And that was when the baseball world is piling on. Everybody's arriving at spring training. The Astros are the A topic. Everybody's got a microphone in front of them, and the Astros they're getting treated like a piñata. And from what we found out now, been treating like a piñata by teams that were doing kind of this, living in the same world the Astros were. Maybe not banging on a garbage can, but definitely using technology to cheat at that time. The most stark thing, I think one of the biggest reasons that Correa popped so big with the fans, Seth, was not just that audio we just heard, not just him taking that stance, really him kind of leading the charge in that stance, you know, that sort of non-politically correct apology crowd. Think about 2019. That was the greatest team in Astros history. They didn't win the World Series, but that was the greatest team in Astros history, purely in terms of the talent from top to bottom. Everybody had great years, except Carlos Correa had a broken rib for about half the season that he got from a masseuse, supposedly. You know, like that was probably the lowest. While the stock on the franchise was at its highest, the stock on Carlos Correa individually was probably at its lowest in that 2019 season because of that injury and because of his lack of availability. And so that's the thing. Sometimes, man, when it's you get that dead cat bounce when you're like when you're at your lowest low. Like it's like a heel turn, like a bad guy becoming a good guy in WWE. Like the most over good guys are the guys who were the worst bad guys. So now you got Carlos, who everybody's like, he's out with a rib that he got from a masseuse. What the hell? And now he's out there just like swinging his axe like it's Braveheart, trying to chop everybody's head off that's saying anything bad about the Astros. That was a fun time. I hope he comes with that same energy this time around, just for no reason.
It was Corbin Burnson in Major League. When all of a sudden he decided to take a ground ball in the face every now and then for the good
Roger
of the team.
Dorn, the great Roger Dorn, yeah. So Carlos Correa is back. They made a couple other moves, the Astros did. Two days ago, they traded with the Orioles for Ramon Urias, infielder. He at that time, Seth, the talk was like, okay, well, I guess this is your third baseman with Paredes out. You know, he's played third base. He's played a decent third base for the Orioles this year. He's played 66 games at third base. I guess this will be the solution. I guess now Urias and Dubon can sit next to each other in the dugout and just be super utility guys with each other.
It's been a flurry. Oh, wait, finish the moves.
So that was Urias, for Twine Palmer, who I still contend that's not a real name. Twine Palmer. I don't think that's a real person.
I like it. It's an old-time baseball name. Back when every baseball player had a colorful name or nickname.
I said to Brandon Scott yesterday, I said, it sounds like a rodeo cowboy. You know, like all those rodeo cowboys have names. Yeah. They sound like they were named to be a cowboy. Jesus Sanchez, underrated pickup here. If Correa hadn't been traded for yesterday, we'd be playing this one up because this is it's an outfielder who's a capable left-handed bat that they need right now. Might be able to, you know, Cam Smith is kind of hitting a little bit of a wall here, it looks like, you know, just in terms of the sheer amount of play, you know, like a rookie wall. So maybe Jesus Sanchez is able to give him a little bit of a break here and there. But that's a nice pickup. And the only thing, you're not sending anything out in any of these. Like, you sent out Ryan Gusto and a couple minor leaguers for Jesus Sanchez. They gave up nothing for Correa. They gave up an A-level 26-year-old reliever. And I mean, that was a total salary dump by the Twins.
Yeah. And with getting one more lefty into the lineup and then with Yordan hopefully coming back at some point, especially when you get to the playoffs, you think about some of these teams that have just flat out been able to rest all of their left-handed pitchers in series. Because the Astros have the fewest number of plate appearances by a lefty. They've also faced the fewest number of left-handed pitchers. So teams going into a series against the Astros, they're just able to pick and choose their best matchups. And it's really tough. It's one thing on a game-by-game basis, but you get into a seven-game series in the playoffs, and that's a tough challenge to overcome. When teams just feel like they can kind of stack the deck against you before the games even begin. So that's without even getting incredible production out of him or anything, you create that much more uncertainty in the minds of the pitchers and the managers and everything else.
Well, Seth, let's be real. The way this team is right now, I mean, look, they're getting Peña back this weekend, but there's still going to be a lot of guys in this lineup who shouldn't be playing everyday Major League Baseball. When they traded for Sanchez yesterday, right after the Correa trade got announced, and they put Sanchez's numbers up on the TV screen, I'm like, okay, he's got 740 OPS and 10 home runs. Like, that's a guy who's not going to be a crater in the middle of the lineup
hitter. Yeah, well, yeah. If you think about the trade acquisitions, you get two infielders that are both really, really good defensively. Correa, obviously, and Urias. But the things that you have to do you're not going to have a 2019 level offense on this Astros team this year, but how have you been able to make up for that? One of the things that they've done really, really well is just be excellent fielders.
Yes.
And they've been so good defensively that now you kind of double down on that and add to that. The offense doesn't need to be lights out. It just needs to be, able to do something, do something in the playoffs.
I would say the last bit of news yesterday for the Astros was apparently they came very close to completing a trade for Dylan Cease. I mean, the Astros almost brought all the juice at the trade deadline yesterday for MLB. There were a lot of deals made and some decent deals made, and the teams that feel like they can contend largely they made some tweaks or some big deals. Seattle traded for Eugenio Suarez a couple of days ago, so this gets fun. Dylan Cease almost became an Astro. The reports were, Seth, that the Padres wanted Spencer Arrighetti and three prospects, and the Astros said no. And I'm glad they did, without knowing who the three prospects would be, but just the name Spencer Arrighetti. Dylan Cease has not been good this year. Of course, there's always the hope when you're trading with the Astros for a pitcher who's not pitching well that he comes to Houston and all of a sudden he turns into the best version of himself. But, I mean, Spencer Arrighetti's a guy you got under team control for five more years or something like that. And when he's been able to pitch, you know, he pitched virtually the entire season last year. Probably like a lot of these guys this year, he got brought up sooner than the Astros would have liked last year because of all the injuries. But he's somebody who benefited from that. And by the end of the year, he was a guy that I felt like if the Astros had advanced past the wild card round and were playing in five or seven game series last year, he'd have started a game for you in the playoffs last year if you had made it further. So I'm glad they didn't move Arrighetti and obviously whoever the other three prospects were for Dylan Cease. It sounds like pitching was really expensive at this deadline, and that's what Dana Brown said yesterday. He's like, the price of poker just got way too high, even for relievers. Like, you know, just the Astros are trying to find guys to fortify that middle part of the bullpen, which has started to kind of show some cracks here. But Dana Brown said just price too high for that.
It is, especially after, you know, there was so much skepticism about Kikuchi at the trade deadline last year because he hadn't been pitching all that well. that Cease, I think everybody would have been excited about Cease, despite the fact that he's got a 4-plus ERA this season.
Yeah.
And the Astros' ability to just kind of take a guy, and the same thing happened with Verlander when he got traded. You know, he wasn't having his best year. He had figured it out, and he had corralled it in that month or so before the trade deadline, but then becomes the best version of himself for the duration of his time with the Astros.
Dude, it was so funny you bring up Verlander. Like, when these trades start going down, as soon as the Correa trade happened, I'm like, go for it. Verlander probably wants out of San Francisco also. Go for it. Let's get everybody. Find out what Yuli's up to. Find out what Marwin's up to. Let's get everybody back together.
I didn't. Verlander is where I reached my limit. Just because we already had this sentimental signing with him. You know, you got him in at a huge discount from the Mets. That was great.
Yeah.
But this was the last, this is the last time I was, I was ready to, you got to draw a line somewhere.
And yet I still think I would have been excited if it happened.
I'm saying that now. I said the same damn thing about Correa. And then as soon as the thing comes, we have to remember, with Correa, it doesn't always go so simple once some kind of transaction happens in free agency or now perhaps via trade. Got to be sure there's no whatever that anomaly is in his lower leg.
Yeah.
That he played with forever with the Astros.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this. When Correa left in free agency – and he goes to the Twins. He goes for that 1 year, and Jeremy Peña comes in. And Peña was solid enough all year. But then in the postseason, he had a better – Carlos is a great postseason player. He never had a postseason like Jeremy Peña had Jeremy Peña's rookie year, where he was literally the best player in the ALCS and the World Series, or at least the most valuable player. And then the following offseason, 22 going into 23, was when Correa got flunked on his physical by two teams. Like, Correa went into free agency, I think, with the sole purpose of being the next 10-year, $300 million guy. And it took him a year to get there. And then he did it twice and had the contracts ripped away from him. And then has to go back to Minnesota, which is not a contender. Like, I think the Giants and the Mets viewed themselves at the time. Neither of them wound up being contenders, but that's neither here nor there. So Carlos is back in Minnesota on 6 years, $200 million. Meanwhile, watching the Astros still make a deep run into the playoffs. And I said at the time that Carlos, watching Peña, watching the Astros still contend, sitting on a team in Minnesota that was a complete disaster at the end of last season, that he's probably a little upset that he didn't take the 5 years, 160 from the Astros and just stay an Astro, considering how his whole – I mean, he's not poor. He got 6 years, $200 million, so he's not crying the blues. But just in terms of wanting to be on a winner, wanting to be an icon in the city – it would have been better for him at the time to just accept Jim Crane's offer in retrospect of 5 years, 160. I think yesterday validates that take, which is he waived his no trade clause to come here at virtually the same money. Like, in the grand scheme of things, if Carlos didn't regret it, he'd still be a Minnesota Twin today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll tell you what, if you think about some of those key guys from the golden era that went elsewhere and you wonder, okay, what emotionally, perhaps, what was the experience like for them? Verlander goes up to New York, and it was just a complete collapse and a disaster for the Mets that year after spending so much money. Springer, really, up until this year, has not had the same experience that he had with the Astros. Now, this year, it's different. The Blue Jays are very good, and Springer's been having a great year. Any of those guys that left, there's the money side of it, but then there's the whole, man, not just the Astros were good, but that every veteran who comes in here talks about how, wow, the culture's just different here. It's different than a lot of major league clubs. So It's an extra feel-good moment, I think, when those guys come back. And the Astros get them in a discount.
Yeah.
The Twins are paying $33 million of Carlos Correa's deal. Jim Crane has done this now with multiple different GMs.
Yeah.
Hey, they'd like to spend a certain amount for these guys, but they just can't go. They're not going to break the bank completely.
No.
But well, you know what? We might get them back anyway.
Yeah.
Well, but it's like buying a used car back that you once owned.
Right.
After the new owner goes bankrupt.
That's
He's
right.
like, oh yeah, I picked it up at auction.
Exactly.
Turns out, yeah, my payments are even lower on it now than before.
Well, and unlike the Verlander trade, where the Verlander trade, the Mets were paying a lot of that salary, but the Astros actually did have to give up two prospects that were highly thought of at the time. Drew Gilbert was one who I think they've already moved on from. The Mets put him in a deal this week, so he's already gone. I forget who the other one was, but it was two outfielders, and I know the texters will tell me. Unlike that trade, the Astros gave up an A-level 26-year-old reliever. He wasn't even a draft pick of the Astros. They signed, like, he's a free agent they signed. He's languishing down in Asheville or Fayetteville or whatever. I mean, this is really taking advantage of a bankrupt person who bought your nice Maserati or whatever it is. I mean, because this is a – I'd love to know what they're saying in Minnesota today, because Correa wasn't the only deal they made. Like, they're trying to sell this team, and they stripped this thing down to the studs yesterday in Minnesota.
You know why it's such a great story emotionally is because it's something playing out that never actually works out in real life, which is, hey, let's take a break from the relationship. Maybe we should date other people.
Right.
And, okay, how often does that actually work out? Usually that's because one party really wants to date other people or has been dating somebody already. So it doesn't usually work out. The Astros kind of like, yeah, you know what? You feel like, hey, we've been together since you were 17, and you want to go out and date other people?
Yeah.
Fine. But just go ahead and go see other people. And then Correa comes back.
Yeah,
or
man.
Verlander comes back. It's
nice. It's just going to be – this is a game tonight. They play in Boston. It's on Apple TV, unfortunately, but I'll watch it on Apple TV if I have to. But this will be a big story on a national broadcast like Apple TV. Like, there'll be shots of Altuve and Correa just chopping it up in pregame out there, and that's going to be really fun for Astro fans to see again.
Hey everybody, let's do it right now. Set a reminder for yourself for September 28th or so, or August 28th, to cancel your Apple TV subscription.
There you go.
Because they got me last time. I can't remember when the last Astros game was, but I forgot to cancel the subscription afterwards.
Trial period.
And Apple TV ended up getting a few months out of me.
Yeah,
I'm not
going
to let them get me this time. I'm going to pay my one month, and then that's it.
That's the bizarro live read from Seth Payne. Seth Payne, a minute here for canceling Apple TV.
It's just too many, Sean.
Which is what you do when they're not paying you, yeah.
It's not like it's bankrupting me or anything, but I just feel so used.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you.
I thought you duped me with this one thing, and then I was a sucker for it. I did exactly what you hoped I would do.
I totally hear you. All right. Speaking of the Astros and the Red Sox, we'll talk about that in headlines. They get things going tonight. We'll get you up to speed on everything that went on with the trade deadline yesterday. There's news surrounding some former Astros too. For trade deadline day yesterday that we got to get to. Training camp starts back up. We had football on TV last night. Football's back. So we'll get to all that in headlines coming up next. Stay there.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.